at some tonight. If you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm not going to read that entire portion, but in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 20, you read about the story of Hannah. And, you know, as you go through life, you're going to find that sometimes you can kind of get in what I would say is a bad place or a rough place. You ever been there where mentally, emotionally, and Hannah was in that place, and she had been in this bad spot for a while, and she was married to a guy named Elkanah, and he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah, and Hannah couldn't have a baby, wanted a baby so bad. And so she prayed, obviously, probably many times, and this other wife would mock her and treat her bad. And so, and it says in verse 7 that year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and could not even eat. I mean, that sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? And this had gone on, and this was a struggle, In 1 Samuel chapter 1 is when Hannah gets out of that cycle forever. Do you know, God don't want to leave you in that place. We are real people. We have emotions. We have things we deal with. But God does not want to leave us in that place. And I want to look, when we look at this, Hannah did pray, and certainly this is about prayer, but it's a prayer of breakthrough. How many want breakthrough in your life? Hannah broke through something that had tormented her, that had bothered her, and she got such a victory. And it's an amazing story. And it says, so in a couple things I want to look at. So she went through this, and if you remember, she began to pray one day. And she's just so distraught with her life circumstance. And she just went there, and the priest saw her, Eli saw her, and she was praying, but she couldn't even get, she just was getting, he thought she was drunk. And so he kind of reprimands her, and she says, listen, I'm not drunk. She says, I have a burden. You know, sometimes burdens can be very heavy to bear. And so here she is, and the first thing I will look at is Hannah got to a place and where she became very serious. And in this seriousness, it was not just about her anymore and what she wanted. Let me just throw this out there. Sometimes our prayers, and it just becomes about us. Now, certainly she wanted a baby. That's not a bad thing. But something happens, and in 1 Samuel 1:11 it says, and she made this vow, O Lord Almighty, if you will look down upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you, and he will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. So the first thing I want to say that in the prayer that lifted the burden, Hannah got to this place. Now remember, this had been going on for years, but she reached a place where she got really serious. And I don't know, there's times when you know, maybe all of her prayers before, how many know when you make a vow like this, she's serious. She said, he will be yours. She was going to release him. Now think about this. Yes, she wanted the baby, but she just made a vow to give what she wanted the most up. Yes, she asked for the Lord, but she said, Lord, he'll be yours. And in fact, when they're leaving and she tells Elkanah what she did, he said, I'm just going to pray to God that you'll be able to follow through on the vow, because he knew what that was going to mean for her to have a child, the child that she wanted for years, and then to give that up. But what I want to pull from this tonight is when we get to a place, we have to get to a place where it's not just about getting back at Peninnah, which I'm sure was part of the equation at times. It would have been with me. And somebody mocking your pain, belittling you, year after year. But this vow, you know, vows add a seriousness, don't they? That's why we don't believe in shacking up, living together, doing it. That's not God's will. If you're going to be together, take the vow. Because vows add a seriousness in a relationship. Jacob, in Genesis 28, Jacob vowed, he says, God, let me read you, Genesis 28, verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, okay, Jacob had been a mess, right? He had done some crazy things, and he had certain character issues, but it says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. He went on record concerning the tithe. It was a vow. He made a vow before God, and he spoke it out. And so there was a seriousness. Jacob needed God to move. So what I'm telling you, whenever we get to a place, and many times it's through a process where we get really serious with God, and that's where Hannah was. She made a vow. The second thing I want you to see is that her prayer in that time came straight from the heart. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so there was a cry. There was something. This was not just a prayer that she just mumbled out something. This was not a prayer that tried to impress and use life. This prayer was not ritualistic. It was not stilted. And it says in verse 10, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And when the priest confronted her, she said, oh no, sir, she replied, I'm not drunk, but I'm very sad. And I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. There's the key right there. Do you know what we need to do when we are dealing with stuff? We need to get to that place where we truly pour out our heart to God. Thank God for people that pray for us. But you know what? There's a place where you need to pour your heart out to God. I need to pour my heart out to God. I need to get on my face. It's going to involve tears many times. It's going to involve waiting upon God. And so there's something in this prayer that is very real, very from her heart. You know, it's easy to be false. It's easy to go through and do the 10-minute special, but this was not the 10-minute special. This was serious. And there's a cry from the heart. I don't know. Something had broken in Hannah, and it took her a while to get to this place, but something is different here. Something, she has reached a breaking point in her life, and something is just pouring out of her. It's a cry from the heart. Matthew 12:34 says, Jesus said, you brood of snakes, talking to the Pharisees, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. So something was pouring out of this woman. There was something in her heart. And you know, we can, whatever the need is, do you know that we need to get that place where it don't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter. This is not a prayer that I don't even think she realized somebody was watching her. She wasn't doing it for Eli. This was between her and God. You know, there's been times in my life where I've been through different things, and Robin and I have faced different things. I remember, you know, one time when we were in Mesa and we were just dealing with a place to live, and it was especially affecting Robin. And so there was turmoil, and I had left, and she told me after you left, she said, I just got on my knees and I poured my heart out to God. And you know, almost instantly that prayer was answered. The telephone rang, and long story, we got a nice house for exactly what we could afford. So God hears this, and you know, you say, aren't all prayers from the heart? No. No, they're not. Some prayers can be very surfacey. And you know, the Bible says that we need to examine our hearts sometimes. In other words, what would God have me to pray here? He says in Matthew 15:19, for from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all other sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands could never defile you and make you unacceptable to God. So how many know our hearts, we have to examine our hearts. And I think sometimes in my life, I have to say, God, where am I at here with you? You know, is this baby that I'm praying, is this what you want? Is this legit? You know, you can pray for some things that are not legit. They're just your flesh. You know, I mean, I've seen the whole gamut. You know, everybody needs to drive a Cadillac. Really? Where does it say that in the Bible? You with me? So no, there are some things, but their heart has to be examined. I think that all the walls were down with Hannah. I think she, you know, David said, try me, search me, O God. That's kind of a scary prayer, isn't it? Search me, O God. Come on board, Jesus, search me. And he said, enough, create in me a clean heart, O God. I mean, that's a searching prayer. Renew a right spirit within me. So Hannah's at that place. It's very real. It's from her heart, and she's serious. Now, the third thing I want you to see is that in this prayer, she got two witnesses. I'm telling you that many times when we get breakthrough, God will give us a witness. And let me show you. The first thing that she got a witness from Pastor Eli at that point. And so he said, so after she told him, no, I'm not drunk, he said, in that case, Eli said, cheer up. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Now watch her response. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. You know what happened? She took a word of faith right there. You know that sometimes God will give you a confirming word. It may come through the preacher. It may come through a Bible scripture that you read. It may come from a daily devotional that you read. I'm just telling you, it's not wrong to want God to confirm something in your heart. And I'm telling you, something happened here. She got a word from God, and something in that word turned. Do you know we need to pray many times until we get a word from God? Something happened. And so she got that from the exterior. She got that through a pastor. You know, in my life, I have seen many times where God would give me a word from someplace. Sometimes it was in a church service. That's wonderful. I don't think that's wrong to desire that. That's not the only way it can come, though. It can come in other ways. But the second thing she got not only a witness from the priest, but she got a witness in her own spirit. She knew in her heart, after all these years, she knew it was done. Something changed. Something shifted. And she acted on it. Do you know, if we pray right, we can reach a place, and this is what I'm getting at tonight. We reach the place where that burden lifts, and now we can go about life and do what we're supposed to do without being driven to the ground by this burden. Something happened. I never forget a story that Willie George shared one time, and he had an aunt during the Depression years, and she had all these kids, and it was tight, and they struggled, and she would just deal with a lot of different things. They couldn't get work. They were having trouble feeding the family, and so this aunt would just tell everybody, you know what, guys, I'm going into the barn right now, and just leave me alone. And so she'd go in that barn, and she'd pray, and they could hear calling out and praying in tongues, and they could hear her from the outside. But then what always struck me, he says, when she came out of the barn, she had the witness of God. And she would be happy. There would be a smile on her face. The frustration was gone. She was no longer sad. And that's what happened to Hannah. She got a word from God in her spirit. You know, we need a word from God in our spirit. Bible says man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Proceedeth, present, continuous. I don't think it's wrong. Say, God, talk to me here. Give me a witness in my spirit. And so Hannah got that. And it was amazing how it affected her. It was amazing. Now let's look at the last thing that she did. So it says that she went out. So she believed in her own heart. It's done. And Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it. She believed it. She found grace for her situation. And she came out and she was a different person. Jesus said in Mark 11:20, listen to me, you can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. See, this is the place where she didn't have that baby, but she had that baby. Are you with me? You don't have the financial answer, but you have the financial answer. You don't have everything that the in a health situation, but you have the answer. It's going to be okay. So many times in my life, I remember multiple times where God would just give me this word. It's okay. But it came from God. How many of you know, when somebody else says it's okay, it may help you. But I'm telling you, when God says it's okay, I remember right here years ago, I was praying out something. I was in turmoil. And I prayed. And God, it was almost audible. He said, it's going to be okay. That's all I needed to know. You know, if God says it's okay, it's okay. So Hannah got the okay of God. And that's scriptural. If you believe, he says, you will have it. And so she goes on. Now let's watch. In 1 Samuel 1:19, it says the entire family got up early the next morning, and they went to worship the Lord once more. You know, a good thing to do at this point, after you prayed and you really broke it through, worship God. Pray. Worship God. Pray in the Spirit. Give a shout. And it says, and then they returned home to Ramah, and the next thing we know, she's pregnant. She got her request. So she worshiped. See, if you look at the difference. She comes again and again. She goes through this turmoil time, but she had a breakthrough. And now she can go about life. Now she can do what God calls her to do. You know, God listens to these prayers. He listens to that person. Martin Luther said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying a hold of his willingness. Hannah got a hold of God's willingness. And so now, she's no longer distressed. And I want to tell you that God does not want us to be distressed. Let me tell you something that I have learned again and again. I have to keep learning this and remembering this. If I will go and I will have a time of breakthrough prayer like she had, then you know what? When I have thoroughly prayed about something, I don't have to worry about it anymore. I can face my day. I can set that. The Bible says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares. That means when you cast something, you let it go, right? When you cast that hook, if you're a fly fisherman, you cast that thing, it may be attached to it, but you let it go. It just flies out there. And so there's something in this, and now let me just tell you something. The church is not to be, you might say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. No, you can cast it. You can cast it. And it's amazing what will happen. You have a burden. You have a situation. And maybe it's not even a personal. You know, sometimes our burdens, in fact, the more mature you get, your burdens will not be about yourself. You know, I can tell you, From in all sincerity, I've been burdened for Maisie. You know what I mean? As they're down there, it's like I'm down there with them. You know what? It's like I'm watching for the texts. I'm watching to see because their burden is my burden. You know, I was thinking, we need the body of Christ. You know, we need Sundays. We need Wednesdays. We need Bible studies. We need prayer meetings. We need all of this stuff because, you know what? We whip the devil together. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. How many know you've got to talk to the devil sometimes? But we need each other. And what happens is there can come a great victory in our lives. Something powerful. Just simple people that know God. You don't have to pray fancy. You know, there were two old ladies on the Hebrides Islands, which is up, I think, near Scotland is where that. And they had a tremendous outpouring of God in those islands from 1949 to 1953. So for 4 years, it was just a great outpouring. And there was just, you know, God don't need fancy people. These two old ladies, this is a true story. One was blind and one was crippled. And they were too blind and crippled, couldn't get to church. They couldn't even go to church on a regular basis. But they committed themselves. They said, God, here's the serious part. We're going to commit ourselves to pray 2 hours every night for a move of God. So they began to pray. They pled with God, Lord, give us a revival here. It's a cold fishing area up there. And they finally told their pastor. So there was a very famous evangelist named Duncan Campbell. And it'd be like me asking for Billy Graham to come preach here. And they called their pastor. They said, Pastor, call Duncan Campbell. He's like, yeah, right. They said, no, we're serious. We've been praying, and we believe God put that on our hearts. And they told him, they said, we think God wants you to call Duncan Campbell. So finally, the pastor did it, and he called Duncan Campbell, and he said, well, you're not going to believe this. I just had a cancellation. I'm going to come. And Duncan Campbell came, and they had a revival that broke out. Simple people, blind and crippled, brought revival. How many, isn't that encouraging? How many know we can just be simple people that know how to break through? These ladies knew how to get through and get to the root of the issue. So Hannah came with a burden, but she left with tremendous joy. Did you know that this is really important? She got, probably Elkanah's looking at her like, what happened to my wife? You know, he's trying to prop her up all the time. It's going to be okay. He tells her, I have to laugh. He tells her at one place, he says, don't cry. He says, I know you don't have kids, but you have me. Ain't I enough? Obviously not, Elkanah. I've been crying for babies. You know, I thought, boy, he's kind of full of himself. I don't know if I kind of get that thing he's teasing. I'm enough, aren't I? But whatever the case, he can't get over the change in her. And he's like, what happened to you? Well, God did something. It all came from serious prayer. So if you're bearing something tonight, or you're bearing something for somebody else, we need to get to the place that Hannah got. Are you with me tonight? Let me read you something that Jim Simmel wrote. He said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. So whenever we are not joyful in the spirit, we are weakened spiritually. Do you see that? We are weakened spiritually. This makes us more susceptible to satanic assaults. Not only that, but sad, gloomy, and irritable believers make a poor advertisement for Jesus Christ. I want to be good advertisement. How about you? Hannah got there. God's no respecter of persons. You can get there. You say, you don't know what? I know there's heavy burdens. I don't mock anybody's burdens. But you know what? Let's not stay under that burden. Burdens, God will give you a burden sometimes. It's meant to be lifted. Burdens are meant to be lifted off. They're there only for a short season. Are you willing to have that kind of prayer? Are you willing to be as serious as Hannah was? You know, if God puts a vow on your heart, then make a vow. But she wasn't bribing God. I think that had to do. God's already said, if you get serious, you'll have faith. He'll answer your prayers. She just reached a place where something broke through in her spirit. Praise God. Let's bow our heads tonight.